One more announcement. As many of you know, we did a golf tournament last Saturday, and it was for Frontsight Ministries of Wounded Veterans. And Tuesday night, we are going out to Frontsight in Ontario. They're having a chapel service at 7 o'clock, and if you would like to join us, we're going to meet out in the parking lot, and we're going to leave at 5 o'clock. One other thing on the tournament, we actually raised $5,200 for the wounded veterans. Praise God. In this ministry, Frontsight Ministry, every single penny goes to our wounded veterans, so that's why we get involved there. Okay, if you need a Bible this morning, slip your hand up. The ushers would love to put a Bible in your hand so that you can follow along. I'm really looking forward to tonight, our Sweethearts Banquet. And hopefully some of you guys took your favorite song when you were dating or when you first got married and changed the lyrics, and we're going to let you sing it to your beloved tonight. So that should be interesting. There's always people say, well, how come you can sing a secular song in church? Well, do you know that the melodies to the old hymns are out of the taverns in Europe and England? So we're going to take the songs, and it should be interesting. So pray for us. Okay, I'm not going to teach from the Beatitudes this morning. It just doesn't seem to fit with Valentine's Day. And so turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. We're going to talk about marriage. Why? Because all of us in this room are married. I hope you know that. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are married. We are His bride. And so there's some wonderful points that we're going to see in this section of Scripture this morning that apply to marriage today. I think this is kind of cool because I get to do some marriage counseling right here in the sermon this morning. Ushers, lock the doors. Don't let these guys out of here. Ephesians 5. Familiar text. That's, you know, one of the main reasons I throw away my old notes from when I've taught, you know, different sections of Scriptures, because I like to just deliver fresh manna. You know, not stale bread. And God wants us to deliver fresh manna to His sheep on a regular basis. And so this morning, and it's so wonderful, I just learned another great thing through this section I'll share with you. Maybe you already knew it, but it was new to me this week. And I think it's really, really important for us in our relationship with our spouse as well as our relationship with Jesus Christ. It was last week, and as many of you know, our office is now on campus here with our Jewish friends who we love. We love Israel. We love the Jews. And so last week, I'm in the office. I go in there as often as I can because I got the old bag of seed here ready to, you know. And John, a wonderful Jewish man, he wears the yarmulke all the time and all. He says, what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? You know me. A little ammunition behind me here. And I said, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. He said, really? I said, yeah, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Easter. And I explained to him, to us, Christmas is the coming of Messiah. It's not Santa Claus and Frosty and Rudolph. And I said, we actually celebrate the Passover rather than Ashtar. And I shared with him about Ashtar, the goddess of fertility and all. And I said, tonight, Sunday night, we're going to celebrate the greatest love relationship of all, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he walked away and he said, well, we'll talk about this a little more later, you know. And I'm walking down the hallway back to the office going, yes, you know, just planting water, you know, that's all. We owe a lot to the Jewish people. Messiah's Jewish. This precious book we have in our hands, they preserved over the years for us. And so we're just returning the favor. And it's so wonderful to be able to do that here. We've opened our Bibles to Ephesians 5. The all-important thing now is to open our hearts, because you can have an open Bible and a closed heart. And so what we need to do is just open our hearts and invite the Lord to speak to us here this morning. Father, thank You for the greatest love of all. Your love, Your agape love, love from above that You have extended to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. And thank You, Lord, for marriage and the very fact that we look forward one day to the wedding supper of the Lamb. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like, Lord. It's got to be absolutely incredible. And so this morning I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would receive what you have for us. It's a message even for the single people, young, old, widows, whoever it might be, because marriage is a very important part of our relationship with you. And we as husbands and the wives here need to know how we can improve on our marriage. Nobody has a perfect marriage here on earth, but we're looking forward to the perfect marriage in heaven one day. And so teach us some important biblical principles, Lord. And this isn't a seminar. This is a time to gather together as your bride, sitting at your feet as the bridegroom, and learning these all-important principles for us so that we could have a marriage made in heaven here on earth. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your great love. We commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you're going to find this a familiar text to many of you. Ephesians 5:22. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Have you noticed in our culture, whenever the word submit is mentioned, the word submission, it certainly is frowned upon, to say the least. How sad. Because this morning we are going to see how important this word is for all of us in this room. Actually, it's a word that's often neglected. It is actually, and this is the part that blew me away this week, the light finally went on, it's actually a test of spirituality. True spirituality, which many Christians seldom even apply. Submission. One of the main themes of the Epistle to the Ephesians and a constant admonition is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. All through this wonderful book, there's an admonition for us as children of God, as Christians, as Christ followers, as the bride of Christ, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is it that many Christians today feel that the Spirit-filled life is shouting hallelujah and running up and down the aisles and giving a prophetic word? You know, the Lord has told me to tell you. And then I'm always waiting for the Lord to tell me to confirm what they have to say. And speaking in an unknown tongue, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Running up and down the aisles, I have a problem with that one. Knocking people down. It's so funny. A brother came to this church years ago and got saved. And he said, man, in my church, I used to be a catcher. A catcher? Really? Oh, yeah. When people got knocked down, I was the one that used to catch them. I said, I hope you didn't have any errors. Whether nobody won the disabled list. Paul actually gives four results of the Spirit-filled life here. Four more results of the Spirit-filled life. Four examples that often go unnoticed in what it means to be Spirit-filled. It's not always the outward manifestations of the Spirit. And here in verses 18 to 21, we're going to find four of these wonderful results of the Spirit-filled life. And notice what Paul writes. And I did this intentionally. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, he says. And this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment for the believer. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's four manifestations of the Spirit-filled life. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last, but certainly not least, as this is the one we're going to focus on this morning, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Interesting, isn't it? We never think of a manifestation of the Spirit-filled life as submission. And I find it interesting that in a marriage relationship, one of the most quoted verses by husbands today is in verse 22. I've heard heathens quote this to their wives. You guys are chuckling, aren't you? Wives, and it's almost in this tone of voice. I had a lady in the office counseling a couple weeks ago. Unbelieving husband. He just happened to know this scripture verse. And he happens to use it like this: wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I'm thinking, this knucklehead hasn't done it himself. How can you tell someone to do something that you yourself have not done? Even a heathen husband seems to know the word of God. And isn't it interesting how the world out there, they just know the right verses, right? To quote out of context, like, judge not lest you be judged. They got all of those lined up. First of all, though, let me say this. Paul is speaking to the wives here, not the husbands. This is an admonition for the wives. This is not a scripture verse for the husbands to quote to the wife. And husbands, you'll get your verse here in a moment. But herein lies the problem. We often overlook the previous verse here. Submission is mutual. It's not just the wives. And oftentimes I have to point that out to people. Oh, my wife's not submitting to me. Well, do you ever back up a verse, my friends? Submission is mutual, and guess what? It's also spiritual. We see it right here in the Word of God. Submission is spiritual. In a solid, healthy, Spirit-filled marriage, both husbands and wife are called to submit one to another. And you know what? There's no greater thing that can happen in a marriage. And I'm a living testimony of that. We had the marriage from hell for 7 years because I was living for me, selfish to the core. And when I came to know Jesus Christ, all of that began to change. And here it says, both husband and wife are called to submit. And it doesn't end there, does it? What's the rest of that verse? In the fear of the Lord. And you know what? I have a holy fear in my heart. I have a holy reverence in my heart of not treating my wife as God's daughter and as a gift from the Lord. I have this fear. I don't even dare go there. Along with the very fact that I have just such a pure love for her, why would I ever want to treat her in an ill manner? When we individually submit to God, we become more willing to submit to one another. It's amazing how that works. Submission is rarely a problem in homes where husband and wife have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the key. You cannot submit to anyone until you first bow your knee to Jesus Christ in submission. That's why last week I had a problem with a candidate that says, I've never asked God for anything. And he held his Bible up a few weeks back, and I'm thinking, oh my. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Jesus Christ would never ask you and I to do something that he himself has not already done. And what did he do? He submitted his will to the Father. He's the example. Submit his will to the Father. We as husbands submit our will to Jesus Christ. Our wives submit to us. Our children submit to us. Right on down the line. You know why the families are a mess today? Because there's a lack of submission in families today. And the first place we need to go is to the cross of Jesus Christ. Tragically, in marriages today, lust has replaced love and selfishness has replaced submission. This is an important word. This is a word that, man, has been just deeply resonated within my heart and my mind this week. And I would hope that the same thing happens to you this morning. In verse 21, this is God's standard. It's the only standard that produces meaning in life and meaning in marriage, joy, blessedness, reward, and satisfaction in marriage. And I would have to say that if you don't have those things evident within your life, then you're probably missing out on the submission part. Christian marriages and families are to be radically different from the world. It is amazing how in the world out there, people get married and they live separate lives. That's not the way God designed it. He's not meeting my needs. She's not meeting my needs. Show me one place in Scripture that says she's supposed to meet your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And if your needs aren't being met, maybe you ought to check this a little bit here. And it's amazing how all of a sudden the horizontal will take care of itself. Just look around. We're drowning in a sea of information today. You go to the Christian bookstore, man, the shelves are filled with books and CDs, all the how-tos. We have marriage conferences. We have seminars. We have books. We have CDs, DVDs. It's endless. And have marriages changed today in our country and even in the church? I'll be honest with you. I see it all the time. I deal with it all the time and what God has allowed me to do. Marriages are getting worse in the church. Marriages are getting worse in America. Is marriage improving in America today? Is it improving in the church? So what sort of impact would there be if every married couple, being filled with the Holy Spirit, began to practice verse 21? How simple is that? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. I hope you have that highlighted. I usually use yellow. That's in orange for me. It's so important not only to mark it in your Bible, but to mark it on the tablet of your heart. It's got to go here. It can't be here. And you can't be holding someone else's feet to the fire. Well, brother, let me tell you how to have a happy marriage. Well, how is yours? You can't give out what you don't have. And that's important. The Holy Spirit wants us to submit to one another in the fear of, in reverence to Almighty God. He is Lord and He is Master of all. Do you know what would happen if husbands no longer quoted verse 22? I think things would begin to change. A wife who is submitting to the Lord's authority has no problem submitting to her husband who is under the Lord's authority in reverence to him. I saw this worked out. This was part of me coming to know Jesus Christ. My wife got saved 2 years before I did. And man, I'll tell you what, it blew me away. No more nagging, no more yelling, no more fighting and all. She just would live this pure and holy life. And you know what? How can you argue with that? I was busted, man. She had the real thing, genuine thing. And I began to want that in my own personal life, and she prayed for me. Even though my behavior and lifestyle didn't change for a couple of years, and she went through all of that. Having to kiss booze breath and smoke breath, and here I come staggering through the doors for 2 years, man. But you know what? She didn't say one word. She never threw anything up in my face. She was submissive to the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll take care of him. You just do what you're supposed to do. And lo and behold, it worked. It busted me. And I don't have time to share with you the things that God used to back me into a corner, but I'll tell you what. It was a matter of life and death. Eternal life or death and separation from the true and the living God. Man, I remember the first message I ever shared when I came to be a pastor. First message was on marriage. And man, I was scared and shaking, sweating. I had no idea if I made any sense. And there was a couple that was in church that morning, two separate cars. He had all his stuff in his car. She had all her stuff in her car. And after the service, they were splitting the sheets and they were gone. They were done in their marriage. And it was on marriage. And lo and behold, I came back to that church a year later from Vermont and they were still there. And they said, you know what? The day that you preached that message on marriage, God put our marriage back together. And it had nothing to do, hold the applause. It had nothing to do with me, all to do with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to what God says and not listening to Sigmund Freud or Dr. Phil. I know the great physician, Jesus Christ, and he changes everything. Only he can change the heart. And I think it's so important that we grasp this here today. And the results, when submission enters into a marriage, mutual submission preserves order and harmony in the marriage and in the family. We're setting an example. We're setting a standard for our children. They are seeing lived out before them what marriage really means. And I hope they're seeing the real thing. It also creates and increases love and respect in family members. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. And also, Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in anything? Some things? Whatever they choose to be. My Bible says everything. And you know what? There is nothing more attractive than a Christian wife fulfilling the role which God has assigned to her. This is God's role assigned to her. This is not us men holding their feet to the fire. This is what God wants them to do. A full-length portrait of this is found in Proverbs 31, the model of what a Christian woman and a Christian wife is supposed to be, a wife and a mother that pleases the Lord. That's the all-important thing, ladies. Just please God. He'll take care of the rest. He can take care of that knucklehead. He took care of this one. Just give it to God and obey God and do what he tells you to do. And again, keep in mind here, both are in submission to God. And let me say this. Headship is not dictatorship. I know a lot of you in your culture have been brought up to, you're the man of the house and you're macho and all of this stuff. That's not biblical, my friend. The greatest in the kingdom of all is the servant of all. When in a marriage of mutual submission, a husband and a wife are praying together, reading God's word together, serving together, attending church together, they know what God says, they know what God's will is for their lives and their marriage and their family. And it's so wonderful that Tina doesn't have to point out to me what I should be doing, and I don't point out to her what she needs to be doing. We read the word, we pray, and we allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. You see, most marital conflicts stem from the failure of the husband and the wife to do these things. And let me repeat them. Are you praying as a Christian man and woman? Are you praying together every day? Are you reading God's word together every day? Are you serving together? Are you attending church together? This is important. Who is having the greatest influence upon your life? The television set, the internet, the computer, or the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? It's your choice. It's amazing. The world today is filled with conflicts. Look at the marital problems. And it results in a failure to submit to Christ. And if you can't submit to Christ, you can't submit to one another. And you know what? The foundation in a marriage begins to crumble. And the all-important thing in a building is the foundation. And the all-important thing in a marriage and building on a marriage is the foundation. And the foundation must be the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Some lady, why is he the head? Simply because God said so. But there's a tremendous responsibility with that. God's going to hold his feet to the fire. God says so. But let me give you a few wonderful benefits of God's design in marriage. And you probably won't say, well, why he is the head? You'll be glad that he is the head. Number one, the husband is to be head of the wife, but it doesn't end there. Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That's the example. It's God's design, his order of the way things are to be. Meaning that Christ is the spiritual head and the man is supposed to be the spiritual head of the house. And what else did Jesus do for his church? Number one, he died for us. What an example for us as men, as husbands. We're to love our wives like Jesus loved the church. Meaning, guys, we need to die to ourselves. Yeah. We need to put our own selfishness to death. We need to love them like Jesus loves us. Does Jesus speak to you like you speak to your wife? As with the other disciples, Jesus washed their feet. Do you wash your wife's feet? Maybe literally, but, you know, it's spiritual as well. We're to wash their feet. We're to serve them. We are, as the head of the house, as the head of the wife, are not to abuse the rule that God has entrusted us with. We are to honor and respect her, just as Jesus Christ honors and respects us. Jesus never abuses his bride, physically or verbally. Fear and reverence for God causes me to love and honor my wife. There's got to be that holy fear, that holy reverence. It's a spiritual thing. Notice verse 25. Guys, it's your turn. Husbands, agape. The word is agape there. Love your wives. It's not the eros, which is the physical love between a husband and a wife. This is unconditional love. Husbands, unconditionally love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, just in case you haven't noticed, the guys have more than twice as many verses as the women do. Maybe they get things quicker than we do. Yeah, there's more devoted to the guys in this section than to the wives. I know, the elbows are going out there right now. Honey, you listening? Amen, brother. Amen, Pastor Joe. More than twice as many verses. I counted them. More than twice as many verses telling them how to submit to their wives. Wow. How does that happen? Well, in verse 25, just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her. And again, he died for the bride. Sacrifice. How much did Jesus Christ give for you? Everything. He laid down his glory in heaven to come to this sinful, fallen earth to die for you. Individually, personally. I've got the coolest little book on my desk. It looks like a book on the outside, and I give it to people. I go, I've got to read this little book here. How long is that going to take? And it says, Why Jesus Died, and you open it up, and there's a mirror in there. It's the fastest way of evangelism I've ever found, and people are shocked when they see that. Why Jesus Died. He died for you individually. He died for you, and he died for me. Sacrifice. How much did he give? Everything. Here's the key. You cannot live for yourself and die for your wife. It doesn't work that way. You need to die to yourself in order to live for your wife. Very simply. Your own lives, your own desires, your own preferences. And you know what? You have to set those things aside. I love the fact that Tina's different than I am in many, 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 many ways. They say opposites attract, and that's a wonderful balance there. It doesn't get boring. It's not vanilla. And I love to hear the wonderful things she comes up with and the wonderful ideas and the wonderful input that she has. And oftentimes I go to her for scripture verses. Yeah. And it's wonderful to have a wife that is literally on the same page as I am. That is so important. And it's so important to listen, guys. Scripture tells us to dwell with them with understanding. And how can you understand if you're always yelling? If you're always talking over her, over you know, whatever the situation might be. You got to be a good listener and ask them questions so that you can dwell with them with understanding. That's the way God designed it. You know what? This is submission. Giving up your own way. And I love the fact that it works. Secondly, sanctify and cleanse her, it says in verse 26, by the washing of the word. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. And again, it's spending time in the word together. Because there's no greater stain remover on the planet than the word of God. It's the washing of the word and the renewing of our minds. It just cleans out everything, all the filth, all the garbage, all the junk that we accumulate. And we put on the mind of Christ. And we are to sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the word, meaning that we are to minister to our wives. Yeah, we're the high priests of the family. We're the ministers of the family. And it's so important to take time in the scriptures and read a few verses and then discuss it. What does this mean? And how does this apply to our lives and our marriage and our kids and whatever it might be? It's wonderful. God gives it to us right there. You know what happens often? People come in for counseling, and they ask me questions, and I just give them the Word of God. Right on my desk, behind my pencil holder, I get this little sticky note. What does God's Word say? So that whenever I'm looking at them, it's, what does God's Word say? And you know what? I give them the Word of God, and they go, I knew you were going to say that. Well, why are you here then if you knew? Why don't you just apply it since you know it? Or sometimes they just walk out and say, I don't want to hear that. And I'm thinking, you're a Christian? You don't want to be obedient to the Word of God? That's a dangerous place to be. What we're seeing here basically, guys, is we are to love our wives with a purifying love, a pure love. Christ cleansed the church by the washing of His Word. He gathered with His disciples. John 15:3, He says to His disciples, you are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. And so how important is the word of God in your life? It keeps our hearts clean, our minds clean. John 17:17, Jesus, even in His high priestly prayer, says to His Father, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And it's amazing how God gives us all that we need. Verse 27. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We're to wash our wives in the Word, that they would be without spot or blemish. We're talking spiritually, of course. You know, I look at God's Word here, and I listen to what Christ has to say and how He speaks to His bride, His church. And you know what I've noticed over the years? Jesus never throws up dirt in my face. And you know what? A lot of marriages today are nothing but a mudslinging contest. How sad. And again, I know I'm sharing a few things about my wife here this morning, but I was involved in some things where she had every single right on the planet to divorce me. And in 33 years of being a Christian, she has never, ever once thrown it up in my face. Ever, ever, never. Why? Because it's in the deepest part of the sea. And if God doesn't remember it anymore, why are you going deep sea fishing and throwing it up in His or her face? That's wrong. Jesus cleanses us. He makes us white as snow, the Bible says. He puts our sin away. He remembers it no more. Guys, are you slinging mud? Whenever you point one finger, you got three pointing back at you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you go for it. We're not to point out spots and blemishes. A wonderful thing happens when you read the Word and pray together. It's like God removes all the spots and blemishes, and He does a good job. You know what? I think it's about time, guys, that our wives were married to Mr. Clean. Verse 28. This is an interesting verse. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. So true, huh? Look at society today. You need to love yourself. Amazing, isn't it? I've seen some of you guys look in the mirror. But you know what? Someday you'll be my age and you avoid the mirror as much as possible. Some of you guys at the gym, same thing, you know. What goes up must come down. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. The older you get, the more gravity begins to pull on your face, on your belly. What used to be six-pack is now a keg, you know. You wait. You think I'm kidding you? Got a big mirror in the bathroom, gets all steamed up. I used to wipe the whole mirror down. Now it's just my face so I can shave. I'm honest. What you see is what you get. But my wife loves me more than ever. Why? Because there are advantages when you get older. Your eyesight begins to go. And she thinks I'm just as handsome as I've ever been. And never, if someone makes a comment, you know, man, you're getting old, man, you're getting bald, man, you're getting gray. The good news is your hearing begins to go. And if you do hear it, then you get short-term memory loss and you forget about what anybody's saying. But you know what? There's never been a time in history. There has never been a time in history when people have been so much into their bodies. They idolize the body today. Now, the Bible says that exercise profits little. We're to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what is our main focus? Today, they pamper it, they nip it, they tuck it. Commercial on TV that day, you can get your fat frozen. I mean, you know, you got to be kidding me. Freeze your fat. Spending hours a day, tons of money, you know, to decorate it, to cover it, to enhance it, to display it for all to see. It's great being a Christian, you know. Why? Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the all-important thing is what is inside. Yes, we need to eat properly. Yes, we need to exercise. Yes, we need to get enough rest, but it's not one-sided. Notice verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Meaning that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The two are one. They're cemented together. Missed verse 30, sorry. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are members of his body. We are his bride. We are cemented together, if you would, with him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed for the day of redemption. And so when the husband loves his wife like Jesus loves the church, he strengthens her, he encourages her, he nourishes her, he cherishes her, and he takes care of her. This is so important. Just as Christ treats us. Your wife is more than just a cook. Your wife is more than just a housekeeper. Your wife is more than just a roommate. Your wife is more than just a sex partner. She is a God-given treasure to be loved, cared for, and nourished and cherished. God commands us to do it. And what does she need? A bigger paycheck? No. Better car? No. You know what she needs? She needs a godly husband that's going to love her and cherish her, that's going to comfort her, give her warmth, protection, and security. And that's what a Christian woman is looking for in a husband. Why? Because it's for better, worse, rich or poor, sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. It's important stuff. And when we get this right, again, everything takes care of itself. You know what I find? And again, I'm reminded, I'm preaching to myself as well this morning. I find it interesting that the root of all marital problems is sin. The root of every single marital problem is sin. Why? Because the root of all sin is selfishness. Look at it. The root of every sin is sinful or is selfishness. It's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about feeling good. Me, myself, and I. And that's the way we're programmed in this world today, and that's why marriages aren't making it. You see, if you submit to Jesus Christ and submit to one another, you can overcome selfishness. Amazing how that works. When you're not caring about you and she's not caring about her, she's caring about you and you're caring about her, how is that going to work? It's a marriage made in heaven. When you're seeking just to please her, to meet her needs, it's important. There's no greater blessing because you know what? man, it's the benefits that come back to you are incredible. You receive things that you never ever anticipated, that this world can't buy. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. When we submit, the Holy Spirit fills us. When we sin, the Holy Spirit is grieved. Do you know that? That's another section of the book of Ephesians. Back up to chapter 4, verse 30. We have the ability to grieve sin, or to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And you know what the wonderful thing is? When God tells us to get rid of one thing, he shows us what to put on instead. And he says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. That's pretty heavy, would you say? When we submit, the Spirit is in the temple. Love is in the marriage. Heaven is in the home. So would you say this is an important word this morning, submit? I bet it's changed your whole perspective. It has certainly changed my whole perspective. And it's not just in marriage. It's submitting to Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the body of Christ. One of the many things I love about this fellowship is you guys serve one another. You do. Just as Christ washed the feet of his disciples, you guys are amazing. But don't quit now. We're not home yet. Sometimes you compliment people and things change. You've got to be real careful, you know? Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The term in the original Hebrew, out of that quote out of the book of Genesis, joined together means to be cemented together. Husband and wife, they merge together. Two people in such a way that when one is affected, the other is affected. That's what it means to be cemented together. You don't live separate lives. You're one flesh. Merging you both together does not mean either of you loses your personality. You still retain your own personality. You're cemented together, but you complement one another instead of conflicting with one another. That's the way God designed it. And it works perfectly. Why? Because that is the way the designer of marriage did it. And again, one man, one woman. God says it. God designed marriage, not the Supreme Court. God is the one that designed holy matrimony. And unless we do it God's way, it's not holy. God will not honor a marriage that is not according to his design. Very simply. Are you complimenting one another? Are you caring for one another? Are you looking out for the other person's needs? We are one in marriage. We weep together. We laugh together. We enjoy marriage together. We enjoy life together. Most of all, we enjoy Jesus together. That is the only reason that we are together, is because of Jesus Christ and him alone. As far as the wedding, it's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery because it's a picture of Christ and his church. You ever wonder what it's going to be like to be married to Christ and be his bride in heaven and all this? It's far beyond our comprehension. The good news is he loves us so much. He just can't wait for that wedding supper in heaven one day, the wedding supper of the Lamb. But you know what? There's only one way that you can be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and that's to say, I do. To the bridegroom. You need to personally give your life to Jesus Christ to be saved and to be his bride and to be in heaven one day at the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's your choice. You see, a marriage relationship, just as a love relationship, is to be reciprocal. It can't be one-sided. Maybe it's one-sided right now in your life. Maybe Jesus is wanting you to say, I do, and you haven't said, I do yet. Well, how do you do that? Very simply. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior as I give my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you would like to pray that prayer, I'd like you to stand quickly right now. I'm not done with the message, but you know what? It's altar call time. Have you said, I do? The ball is in your court. It's your choice. And if you would like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd like you to stand quickly before we continue on. Okay, I'll continue on. What would happen if the church followed these simple instructions? What would happen if you and your spouse followed these simple instructions? I can guarantee you there'd be no strife. There'd be no separation. There'd be no divorce. Oh, yeah, but she, or yeah, but he. You don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but I know what you and I did to Jesus Christ. We caused him to be nailed to a cross and to be brutally beaten. He was marred more than any man for you and for me. But you know what? There's no buts about it, my friends. Are you doing what you're commanded to do? That's the bottom line. Don't point her sins out. Don't point his out. How is Jesus Christ treating you? And so what we have here this morning is a mission of submission. And it's up to you and I what we do with that word submit. I guarantee you will have joy and bliss unmeasurable in your marriage relationship if you do it God's way. Nevertheless, let each one of you, notice he's talking to them individually, in particular, so love his wife as himself. Guys, are you loving your wife as much as you love yourself? And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Are you respecting your husband lately, ladies? Nobody's perfect, but you know what? Put these things into practice and you will be blown away at how God can work in your marriage relationship. And as we close, I'd like to have all of the married couples stand. I just want to pray for you. Not going to embarrass you. We just want you to pray. I want to pray for you because it is so important. My wife's in Sunday school. But you know what? We'll pray for her as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for marriage. Thank you for the gift of marriage. It is a gift. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that each and every one of us would take heed to your word. Especially, Lord, when we see how you treat us, how you died for us, how you unconditionally love us, how you never point out our past. It's in the deepest part of the sea. Thank you, Lord, that we have a brand new day. All things become new. We can't do a thing about yesterday, but we can certainly change today. And Father, I pray for every married couple here. Lord, that you would just work. You know what the needs are? I'm sure there's many different needs in this church here this morning. But I know, Lord, that your word says that with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. And I pray for every marriage relationship here that it would be a marriage from heaven. Just as you designed. Teach us, Lord, how to submit to one another as we submit to you. I pray that you would shower every couple here with your love, that you would bless them and lift up their hearts and give them joy and bliss and all those wonderful things that come in a holy marriage covenant designed by you. Bless them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay where you are, and we'll have the worship group come up. We'll close with a song. And God bless you all. Happy Valentine's Day, you sweethearts of the Lord. So.
Got no warning there. to be known. The morning breaks pearl bright and fair, and the saved on earth shall gather.